Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Maybe Everything is Okay, A Parent's Guide to Less Stress and Worry, by Allison Carmen, narrated by Kim Neamy. Introduction. There is nothing so uncertain as a sure thing. Scotty Bowman. A few months before I became pregnant with my first child, I read What to Expect When You're Expecting by Heidi Murkoff and Sharon Maisel. This wonderful book made me feel safe and secure because it shared with me what each month would look like in my pregnancy, as well as the possible challenges that I might face along the way. The authors informed me that after about 6 weeks, I could begin to feel morning sickness and fatigue and have an increase in sensitivity to smell. So when I started to have these symptoms, I felt less alarmed because I knew it was normal and had prepared myself for these common ailments. As my pregnancy progressed, the authors continued to tell me about likely symptoms, what to expect during doctor's exams, and what to expect when I was ready to give birth. I found the book tremendously reassuring and helpful as I navigated through this new experience. Everything was going as planned, in fact, as I had expected, until the last 5 weeks of my pregnancy. One day, I went in for a regular appointment, and though everything had been going well up to that point, the doctors expressed worry that I was carrying too small, that there might not be enough fluid in the amniotic sac, that my baby wasn't thriving. I was immediately sent for a sonogram. The doctor was unhappy with the results and wanted to deliver my baby immediately by cesarean section. In a matter of minutes, I went from having a not very eventful, peaceful pregnancy to being cast into a sea of chaos and uncertainty. As scared as I was in that moment, I did not believe that my baby was ready to be born. At the same time, I didn't want to jeopardize her safety. What was I supposed to do? After a lot of back and forth and a few more tests, it was agreed that I would not have to deliver the baby early if I went on bed rest and came in for tests twice a week. I did as I was told. But those weeks leading up to my daughter's birth were extremely stressful. I found the uncertainty of knowing whether my baby was in jeopardy unbearable. Even though the doctor and some informative books on pregnancy could educate me on what it meant to have low fluid in the amniotic sac and the precautions that needed to be taken, nothing could soothe my need to know that my baby would absolutely be okay. And there was simply no way to know that. My overwhelming fear regarding my baby's well-being was a manifestation of the same problem that had plagued me most of my life. I was addicted to certainty. I needed to know what was going to happen next in my life, and if I didn't know what was going to happen, I projected that things would be bad or would not work out the way I needed them to. I wanted to know if I would have enough money to buy a home, or if I would lose my job. Would my parents stay well? Would I find love? The list goes on and on. Each day, instead of taking a more hopeful and patient attitude toward life, I had agonized that not knowing the answer to my future meant the worst would happen. My fear of the unknown plagued me in my professional life as an attorney and later as a business consultant, as well as in my personal relationships, even affecting my health. Of all the areas of challenge in my life, though, I quickly realized through my pregnancy that the toughest was to be parenting. I could keep changing my relationships and my career, but parenting was a permanent gig, one that offered absolutely no guarantees of anything. To be a parent was to face more uncertainty on a daily basis than I had ever experienced in any other realm of my life. The doctors pushed me to come back in on my due date to be induced, as they were still concerned there wasn't sufficient amniotic fluid surrounding my baby. My first daughter was born the next day. She was over 7 pounds, and there was plenty of amniotic fluid. Nothing had been wrong with my baby. On the contrary, she was beautiful and healthy. All that stress and worry had been for nothing. Everything was okay. I don't share this story to encourage you to fight with your obstetrician. I know plenty of women whose babies needed to be born before full term or by C-section for good, sound reasons. Instead, I share my experience to demonstrate how the uncertainty of parenting enters our lives and never leaves. Giving birth to my first child was only the beginning of my long road as a parent, a journey on which not knowing what would happen next was to be my constant companion. Don't get me wrong, I loved holding my baby and sharing the joy of her arrival with family and friends. But I actually remember thinking to myself just after she was born, how will I ever endure all of this uncertainty? I had suffered so much in my life worrying about what the future would bring, but here was a level of worry and fear much deeper. Another life was in my hands now. Far from accepting that there was even less I could control, I felt extremely rigid. More than ever, now that I was a parent, I felt life had to be a certain way for everything to be okay. The first year of my daughter's life brought more of the unknown. How do I put my baby to sleep so she has good sleep habits for life? What is the best diaper? Is she developing normally? What is the best music for her to listen to? Why is everyone else's baby crawling at a certain age and mine is not? Why won't my baby stop crying? Is she breathing? New parents can make themselves absolutely crazy with all the unknowns. Little did I realize that, barring a baby having major health issues, the baby stage is actually one of the easiest times in the life of a parent. Sure, night feedings and houseproofing are physically grueling, but there are also fewer moving pieces when you have a baby. After I had my second child and as my daughters started to grow up, even more uncertainty arose. I remember calling my mother after my second daughter was born. "How do you do it?" I asked her. "How do you have the strength to keep worrying all the time?" I had not faced nearly the number of obstacles my mother had. Two of her children, my siblings, had suffered life-threatening illnesses. My mom, who was definitely a worrier too, had somehow been able to find the strength to carry on through it all. How had she done it? Her response to me was simple. "I worry," she said. "I don't know any other way to do it." Her answer raised even more questions. Worrying might have worked for my mom, but I knew that I could not continue my life with all the fear of what the future would bring. The worry was affecting my health, my sleep, and my ability to be fully present for my children. Instead of enjoying my oldest daughter's first steps, I was nervous she would fall. When my youngest went in for a checkup, I worried about the results. My need to know the future was destroying my present moments with my children. I knew my addiction to certainty was ruining my life and had the potential to destroy my ability to be the kind of parent I wanted to be. But how could I find relief? Then, one day, just when I thought I couldn't handle any more, I heard a simple story. For me, this story transformed my life. If you've read my first book, The Gift of Maybe, this will be familiar to you. But because it changed everything, it bears repeating. One day, a farmer's horse ran away. His neighbor came by and said, "You have the worst luck." The farmer replied to the neighbor, "Maybe." The next day, the horse returned with 5 mares, and his neighbor came by and said, "You have the best luck." The farmer replied, "Maybe." The day after that, the farmer's son was riding the horse and fell off and broke his leg, and the neighbor came by and said to the farmer, "You have the worst luck." The farmer replied, "Maybe." The next day, the army came looking to draft the boy for combat, but he could not go because his leg was broken. The neighbor came by and said, "You have the best luck." Again, the farmer said, "Maybe." When I heard this story, I was juggling a career and motherhood, as well as some health issues. I was at the end of my rope. But something in the story gave me somewhere to park my thoughts and just sit in a place called maybe. Suddenly, it was fine not to know the future. What's more, hearing about the farmer and his son even filled me with a sense of hope. As time passed, I learned that this world of maybe creates hope, because it allows me to see the infinite ways that situations causing me stress and worry might unfold. Sure, things could still not work out the way I wanted or planned, but maybe things could still be okay. Maybe things would work out better, or maybe something else could happen that would lead me to a new and wonderful experience. This story allowed me to trade in my fear of the unknown for a perspective that gave me a larger view of life. As I began to live in the realm of maybe, my fears of the unknown dissolved. I was able to establish a new future filled with opportunities, a future that has me realizing many of my most cherished hopes and dreams. Maybe has allowed me to venture into a business I love, a lifelong dream. Maybe has transformed many other aspects of my life, too, from my health to my relationships with the people I love, and most especially with my children. Out of all the gifts maybe has given me, the greatest has been a way to parent with more ease and joy. My daughters are 23 and 19 at the time of this writing. Their problems and life circumstances keep changing, and the road of parenting I'm still driving on remains uncertain. And it probably always will. But the difference is now I know that's okay. When I shared the premise of this book with an older colleague and friend who is also a mother, I said, I think I need to write this book now before my children grow up so I remember how the uncertainty of parenting makes me feel. My colleague laughed and shot back, Allison, I'm 70 years old and my children are now in their 40s. I just got back from a hospital stay for my son and my daughter got divorced a few years ago. As a parent, the uncertainty and unexpected events in your children's lives never end, and neither does your need for them to be okay. The only thing that really can change is how you show up for it. The maybe mindset, she reminded me, is a tool for life, a way to show up that really works. The journey of parenting will always present us with twists and turns as our children struggle with certain areas of their lives. Sure, most of our children will become more independent as they grow up and better able to handle things on their own. But our need for our daughters and sons to be okay? That will never waver. The purpose of this book is to help you as a parent with your internal struggles and with how parenting makes you feel every day. I have shared a mindset in this book that will help you release the pain and anguish that comes from your need for certainty about parenting or the need you have for your children's lives to turn out a certain way. As you embrace the ideas in this book, you will also learn to model for your children a precious tolerance for uncertainty and a flexibility in the face of the unknown. This allows you to suffer less and support your children more on their life's journey. This mindset alleviates so much of the fear we parents live with, the deep fear that somehow our children are not going to be okay. By parenting with maybe, we end up in a softer and more open place, a place where we can hold the dreams we have for our children with a looser, less painful grasp. In this way, we can approach the most challenging and simultaneously most beautiful job of our lifetime with greater ease and peace. We can be parents who are willing to allow the best possible outcomes to manifest for our children and for ourselves. Why maybe? So why is the mindset of maybe such a great parenting tool for the journey ahead? It is a very simple idea with a very powerful result. The mindset of maybe enables us to parent with less stress and more ease as we recognize that our children's lives often are not determined by one moment, and maybe everything is or is going to be okay. Of course, there are imperative situations when our kids must listen to us. They need a particular medicine if they are sick. They need to wear their seatbelts, their helmets, and, for the most part, their mittens. But do they have to go to an Ivy League school, date a certain person, or never ever get a piercing or a tattoo? Much of what we believe is imperative is only a story that we are writing in our minds, one that has us believing there is only one way for our children to have joyful and successful lives. As we embrace maybe, we remember that parenting is a long road. Even if we can't see them in the moment, our children's well-being and their futures are always filled with more opportunities and possibilities. Maybe also helps us gain perspective, which we often lose in the heat of those moments when our children are not listening or being defiant. Sometimes we face a screaming child who won't put on her coat or his socks, or won't go to sleep or do her homework. Maybe we are face to face with a whiny child in a very long line at Disney World, or with an angry teenager who broke a curfew or worse. Whatever the situation, even in very dire situations, if we are able to pause and breathe and think, maybe everything is okay, everything changes. Just allowing the thought of maybe to dance in our minds lets us pull away from the intensity of parenting moments when it seems like things must be only one way to be okay. We still need to handle difficult situations and possibly teach our children more appropriate ways to behave. We may even need to call in family, friends, or professionals to help us address truly serious issues. But when we are able to approach challenges with a more open and larger perspective, we suffer less, our children can hear us better, and we often find a longer-lasting solution to the situation, whatever it is. And if we face difficulties with our children, such as illness or the challenges of a disability, bullying on social media, anxiety about their grades, or even just their hurt at being excluded from a night out with their friends, the mindset of maybe gives us strength. Maybe allows us to remember that in the uncertainty of life, there will be changes and answers that help our children on their journeys. As much as we would like to solve all their problems the minute they come up, time and patience is needed until circumstances change. With the idea of maybe, we will suffer less through each ordeal and stay more open and hopeful to support our children. We also remember that as things change in life, the unexpected brings beautiful surprises we can never anticipate. Our children make new best friends from year to year. A son who struggled through school finds his calling and lands a great job. A daughter who had a hard time in romance finds the love of her life. Cures might even be found for the diseases that threaten our children's health. There are times when we face hardships as parents and forget to look for what is still possible in the very moment we are in with our children. The mindset of maybe gives us the resolve and the tools to stay present and find a perspective that allows for sweet, profound moments, even in the midst of great difficulty. In fact, sometimes families facing the biggest trials offer the greatest inspiration to the rest of us. Maybe has allowed them to appreciate life from moment to moment. The parents I've encountered who have faced unbelievable hardship are in many ways the inspiration for this book. Whether they call it maybe or not, being in a space of accepting uncertainty with hope has allowed them to appreciate life from moment to moment. They cherish a laugh, a triumph, or a shared moment with the sun on their faces. Hope and possibility can come in many forms and can be found in everyday living, even under challenging circumstances. What's more, whatever we are facing in our personal lives, all of us live in a world with very complex problems, including pandemics, domestic and global terrorism, political upheavals, mass shootings, and climate change. Confronted with these types of difficult issues, it is sometimes hard to maintain a positive outlook. We can all get very discouraged when the unknown makes us think, if things are not good today, they will not get better in the future. The thing I love most about the maybe mindset is that it is real. The maybe mindset doesn't promise us or our children that things will go back to the way they were before something bad happened, nor does it deny that bad things are happening in the world. Maybe merely allows all of us to stand in the present and see what else is possible for this moment and the future. With this perspective, we can teach ourselves and our children that uncertainty is not the problem, but instead it is our fear of what will be that can cripple us, stop us from moving forward, and prevent us from making the changes we want to see in our lives and in the world. It must be said, and my daughters will attest to this, that I am not in any way a perfect parent. I have days when I wish I was more patient or could worry less about a particular situation with my children. However, when I am able to go back and embrace the ideas and philosophies in this book, I am also able to show up for my children with an open heart and mind to embrace all that is possible in each moment. I have tried to share many personal experiences throughout this book, as well as stories from other parents I know and have worked with, in order to demonstrate the depth of the power of maybe in our lives and how I think maybe can help you and your children. So let us take a journey together into the land of maybe. Let us give the gift of maybe to our children and ourselves. It is just one simple word, but when it comes to parenting, maybe changes everything. Chapter 1. A New Mindset. Making the decision to have a child, it is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. Elizabeth Stone. It's tricky. The Buddhist religion teaches that after Buddha attained enlightenment, he laid down his teachings in the form of the Four Noble Truths. 1. Suffering exists. 2. Suffering arises from attachment to desires. 3. Suffering ceases when attachment to desire ceases. And 4. Freedom from suffering is possible by practicing the Eightfold Path discussed further in Buddha's teachings. Number 2 makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If we are attached to a particular outcome and it does not happen, we will suffer. Herein lies one of the most difficult conundrums of parenting. Is it really possible not to be attached to our children, or to our desire for them to have joyful lives filled with good health and abundance? We may find levels of acceptance for other circumstances in our lives. Our career doesn't turn out as we expected, or we never earned the money to buy our dream home. These things we can adjust to. But clearly, when it comes to our precious children, non-attachment is extremely challenging. I remember once I was going through a difficult time with my older daughter. I was at a party with a well-respected Buddhist teacher who has 2 adult children. During our conversation, I asked him about non-attachment. How can you not be attached to your children and what happens in their lives? He responded, I try to give them their freedom and recognize they have their own paths in life. I hope they make good decisions. And then he paused and smiled at me and said, It's very tricky, isn't it? Tricky is one word for it. I believe that it is possible for some parents to find acceptance and internal freedom from suffering on this journey. But the need for our children to be okay is in the very fiber of our being as parents. What could be trickier? If we look a little closer at this idea of attachment and parenting, we find a lot of our daily discomfort as parents doesn't actually come from attachment itself, but instead from our fear of the unknown and our discomfort with uncertainty. Sometimes we are so busy projecting that things are bad and will never change, or that the future will not work out for our children, that we are creating suffering in our minds manufactured by our fear. Sure, we want our children to flourish, but the fear that they won't or that things won't work out in their future consumes much of our day-to-day inner dialogue. To manage this fear, we search for certainty whenever we can to make ourselves feel better about our children's futures. We start to believe that if they make the sports team, get into a particular college, eat certain foods, or have a particular group of friends, everything is going in the right direction. It is all right to want particular successes for our children, outcomes we believe will contribute to their well-being and happiness. But our dependency on certainty is futile and leaves us without a leg to stand on whenever things don't work out as we'd planned or in the way we thought life would go. Intellectually, we may know it is okay for our children not to make the team, get into their first-choice school, eat only organic food, or have a certain group of friends. But emotionally, we can't always accept these results because they make us feel scared and vulnerable. We can't be certain that our children will be happy or accomplish their goals in life. But here's the rub. In these moments, as the unexpected leads us away from how we thought life would be, we can either suffer greatly, or we can find another way to look at the situation our children are facing. We can continue our addiction to certainty, or we can embrace a mindset that reminds us life always changes. Life constantly takes us in new directions, and sometimes that new path can fill our children's lives with gifts and possibilities that we could never have imagined. Sometimes events can be far more challenging. If a child is sick, has a disability, has developed a drug addiction, or is getting into trouble at school or with the law, for example. As a parent, these issues are terribly difficult. Everything involved in helping your children and getting them the resources that they need can be exhausting. Yet even in these moments, our internal landscape can either sustain us, allowing us to persevere with hope and possibility, or drive us to the greatest despair. If we can crack our need for certainty in the face of the most dire of situations, we find a more inviting place to rest our hearts. We find the resilience and strength to carry on and continue to help our children the best we can. Keeping the faith. Unlike me, not every parent who ends up addicted to certainty is a worrier in other parts of their lives. I have met tons of parents over the years who can tolerate lots of uncertainty in their own lives. But the lack of control of their children's lives and their inability to always shield their babies from pain creates a deep need for things to be a certain way. A good example of this can be found with my client Margaret, who I know to be a very strong woman and successful entrepreneur. Margaret was not a big worrier and rarely cared what other people thought about her. If someone did not like her in business or in her personal life, I never saw her get angry or feel rejected. In fact, she would often tell me with a shrug that sometimes people just don't connect or get along because they have different interests. She related that she always eventually met people in her life who she enjoyed, and that these people enjoyed her company as well. No big deal. Once when we spoke, however, Margaret seemed quite upset. Her child was having problems in middle school and was being rejected by a group of girls that she used to be friends with. Margaret's daughter was extremely upset because she was not invited to a party given by a former friend. Her daughter cried nonstop for days. Margaret found her child's suffering unbearable. She could not handle her daughter's unhappiness and had several sleepless nights worrying that she would never make friends and would have a lonely, sad life. In fact, when Margaret came to speak with me a few days later, she shared with me that intellectually she knew her child's life would keep changing, but she was still emotionally hooked and worried that her daughter would not find her way in life with regard to relationships. Margaret said, "Everyone is telling me not to worry and to just have faith that these things with kids just work themselves out. I just don't see how this will change. I could handle this situation if it happened to me."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?